Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Here on Kaya Biz on the street, on the air. Remember, you can WhatsApp us 063-688-0959. You can also tweet us at Kaya on air is our handle, and you can use the hashtag Kaya Biz. So, the Department of Employment and Labour has published codes that say that sectors like manufacturing, mining, real estate, water, the arts, and so many more need to hire people in line with the demographic makeup of the country. And that's, and I'm quoting directly now, for the purpose of ensuring the equitable representation of suitably qualified people from designated groups at all occupational levels in the workforce. What does that mean in simple English? When you walk into a business, it should look and reflect what South Africa looks like in terms of the race of the people who work there and in terms of the gender of people that work there. And there need to be suitably qualified people put in those roles. In response to that, the National Employers Association of South Africa and SAKA Liga have headed to the High Court to stop the equity quotas. Let's speak to Israel Norko, the CEO of NPI Governance Consulting. Mr. Norko, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Just take us through the reasons for those codes published by government firstly.
Thank you very much, and good evening to your listeners. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is the Employment Equity Act has been around since 1998. And in actual fact, it came about, you know, immediately after the dawn of our democracy. And it is in recognition of the fact that, you know, in order for the workplace to be representative of South Africa, companies need to work towards certain targets to, in order for them to be able to kind of achieve those goals. Mm-hmm. So what happens in practice is that companies, and then those plans annually then have to be reported to the Department of Employment and Labor, you know, on an annual basis. Now, those will only apply to designated employees. Now, in terms of the rationale for government now to change and amend that legislation, the reason behind that is that, you know, there was a feeling that there wasn't enough transformation in our corporate environment. And if you see the sort of demographics in terms of top management amongst the JSE listed companies, I think the evidence speaks for itself. Mm. That 30 years after democracies, where we still have the majority of the C-suite levels as well as senior management levels been held by non-black people, that does raise a concern. Mm-hmm. So you know, I think the feeling was that this was the time in which you know, we needed to grab the bull by the horns and to really make sure that, you know, rather than just trying to enforce on plans where companies can aspire towards walking to them and self-determinate, you know, the government would step in now and say, okay, these are your targets, now start to work towards them.
Mm-hmm. How does it affect employers, and what are the thresholds in terms of, if I employ 5 people, is it going to affect me? If I employ 50, is it going to affect me?
Yes. Well, I think it's also important that listeners understand that there is a definition of who a designated employer is. Mm-hmm. And that designated employer is any organization that has more than 50 employees. Mm-hmm. So anyone below that threshold of 50 employees, they are not required in terms of the act itself to report, you know, their employment equity, you know, plans. And in this case over there, they have almost like a carte blanche, you know, to kind of, you know, do what they want in their own organization. Mm-hmm. They're exempted, you know, mm-hmm. from that type of reporting and that type of obligation to the government. Mm-hmm. However, everybody else, you know, needs to do that. Now, the consequences of not meeting those obligations can be financial. So the consequences, if that, you know, if an organization makes a plan and they say these are the commitments we're going to be working towards in order to meet our sectorial targets, and they consistently do not do so, there will be an investigation. And through that investigations, you know, it will be revealed why they have not been able to do this. And there needs to be some sort of undertaking by the company to do that. Mm-hmm. Not adhering to those, you know, agreements then it can lead to financial penalties, which can be quite serious in the long term for that particular company, especially from a reputational perspective.
When I was reading up on these codes, government is also saying, or the Department of Employment and Labor is saying, if you are not able to adhere to the codes and you explain why, that's also allowed. There's a rationale behind it.
Yes. So there are instances where, you know, you might not be reasonably able to accommodate those. And, you know, there are certain industries, you know, where, you know, there's a certain lack of expertise that is required to perform certain job functions, by which case you can then deviate, you know, from meeting those particular targets there. And I think, you know, this is very, very consistent in terms of other pieces of legislation that we've also seen in terms of our labor relations too, that, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a South African citizen. You can recruit from outside the country if you are meeting a specific need that the country actually needs. Mm-hmm. So there is some consistency across the board, but unfortunately, the reality is that, a lot of companies, you know, are probably still not doing enough in order for them to kind of make sure that they're bringing people into the organization. And I'm not just talking about purely appointment, but also trying to make sure that the workplace is in conducive
culturally
place
fit,
diversity
yeah.
to flourish.
Yeah, when I look at some of the expected targets, I see, government saying in top management it should be 38.1% female and 24.4% when it comes to perhaps the professional, scientific and technical activities. And they list, you know, what they'd like to see. I'm quite surprised that in 2025 there are still people, and I understand, you know, that we have a multiplicity of views in South Africa, who look at something and they say, transformation, oh my goodness, now I have to actually make my company look like what the country is, and no, actually I'm going to fight that. Why is there court action trying to block transformation in a post-democratic South African society?
Yeah, I think this is a very unfortunate case here, and maybe I'm just reflecting my own personal views, but what the Act makes provisions for is that the minister has to go through a consultation process. Mm-hmm. And those consultation process does require stakeholders to be able to kind of voice their opinions in terms of being able to have the minister then finally gazette a bunch of sectorial codes. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact of the matter is that there has been a consultation process. Mm-hmm. What we might be experiencing right now in terms of this particular court case is that there may be a small fraction of people that were on the opposing side of this type of legislation coming into place. And that is why, you know, because our constitution makes rights that anyone can take the government to court, that they've decided now to go to court and take them take this matter on an administrative legal action perspective.
Mm-hmm. We're going to see what happens. I know there's also a similar action in the legal sector, where there's a legal sector code that's been published, and there's, you know, concern about that, also about the consultation process. So we are in a space where transformation and moves by government are, you know, being litigated against, which is part of the joys of staying in South Africa. You can look at what your government is doing and decide, actually, no, I'm going to litigate against this. But what advice would you give business owners, HR professionals, or people looking for work, trying to understand, one, the codes, and how they should think about their businesses going forward, never mind the litigation?
Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right. You know, transformation is under attack by a number of different quarters, and I think what happened when President Ramaphosa went to Washington recently on his on a visit to the White House and what played out there. But I think what companies should be doing is to actually speak to a professional, and speak to the professional, you know, in order to really get the facts as to what is this legislation trying to do, and get that professional who's got the right sort of credentials to kind of unspell, you know, what it's not really trying to do. And I think this is where the confusion gets lost. And because we're faced in so much noise of sensational, you know, words like quotas and things like that, quite often people misunderstand the things. And I think it's important to note that what we're working towards are targets, and targets are aspirational. And what we're not working against, what we're not working towards, rather, is actual quota system. And again, quotas are illegal, you know, and it's actually something that has been enshrined in our legislation. And it's something that has unapologetically been very stated very, very clearly by the government.
All right. Israel Noko, founder and CEO of NPI Governance Consulting, thank you for your time and insight on Kaya Biz this evening. It's time for a short break, and we'll be speaking to Dobek Pata, a telecoms analyst, about a deal that was blocked and now is no longer. Do stay with us on Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.